Where the hood at? Have that nigga in the cut. Where that wood at? Oh, them niggas acting up. Where the wolves at? You better bust that if you gon' pull that. Episode 60, header notes.
So with that in mind, welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Matrix Mouth Miller.
Where the wolves at, Blake Buck?
I don't know who put that there. And we have Justin Ficarotta of Freeverse fame.
Better bust that if you go and pull that, Blake Buck. I think our wiki fairy got tired of being a fairy.
it's our wiki gangster now. So I think we're finally getting back in the swing of doing shows regularly. I'm excited. We are like. Now, William, is your time 10 or 11? What is your time that you actually start at?
My time is 11 o'clock Eastern time.
Okay.
11 o'clock Eastern time.
All right, so everyone knows, even the people who it doesn't matter for, 11 o'clock Eastern time on Sundays is when we do the show.
That's when we're doing the show.
All right, and this is your, how does this go? I don't even know how this goes.
This is your news about games and shit.
Do I read that first? That's right, and this is your best damn podcast ever for Wednesday, January 27th, 2009, 10. All right, that was the crappiest intro ever.
Do that shit again, come on.
Now, you know old Peachy's gonna leave that one in. He's gonna leave the crap one in. In this week's news, rampant gamer speculation about the iSlab press conference nears. Retro Final Fantasy coming to iPhone, Miller busts multiple nuts. Third Borderlands DLC expansion biggest yet. And no Half-Life 2 expansion, Half-Life 2 Episode 3 until 2011. All this and more on this week's best damn podcast ever. All right, so William Miller, what you got for us?
All right, Blake Buck. So everybody's been hearing about this new tablet thing Apple's going to announce. All right. And listen, it is all speculation at this point. As far as we know, it could be a new iMac. And that would really put a lot of people out. But all indicators point to a new tablet of some kind. And a lot of those indicators have to do with this press conference detail, the details on this press conference. So lots of like gaming press got invited, and you know EA has been working on something, according to the Wall Street Journal. So I don't know about it, but everybody's getting real excited. So I put this news in here because I wanted us to talk a little bit about the possible implications of an Apple tablet like device in the wild. What do you think?
Yeah, with gaming like hooks, which is apparently what this thing's going to have,
right?
According to recent rumors,
dude. By the way, it's worth noting that we totally called this shit at Macworld. What is it? 2004.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right, we did.
We knew that iSlab was coming out.
Dude, how long have I been hearing about this stupid ass tablet? I'm so done with this. I was done with it in 2004. And here it is, 2020, what did I say? 2010. I can't deal with this.
22,000.
Let's just say, here's what I'm assuming this is going to be. A tablet computer that's cheaper than a laptop, but more expensive than an iPhone, that has limited processing power, but focuses more on, you know, they're going to call it the apps and the gestures, and it's going to have all these, you know, sort of more esoteric values to it. Like, oh, take it with you to the grocery store.
You know what? You know what you sound like, Blake? On it. You sound like Steve Ballmer when they announced the iPhone. He's like, oh, who's going to use this thing? Nobody's going to use this thing. It's dumb. Who's going to pay that much money? Nobody's going to pay that much money. It's dumb. That's what you sound like. You sound like Steve
Ballmer. I can see this easily replacing the low end of the Apple laptops.
Yeah. Did you see CES this year? It was like filled with tablet PCs. All of them were shit. Now when this thing comes out, it's gonna like, you know, make all those things obsolete.
That's true. You know, Apple seems to have a way of like finding a genre or a medium, would be a better word, of products that are innovative but mostly shitty, and then making one that's not shitty.
Yeah, like
right?
Phones. All phones were shit, and then Apple came along and made a not-shit phone.
A friend of mine has a tablet PC, And I look at it, I'm like, I guess this is a good idea, but it's also pretty shit. Like, right. I'm never going to actually use this. They would have to. I'd have to be hard convinced to type on something that ain't got a keyboard.
Well, I think the problem with it is that all these tau PCs, like when they come out, you know, Microsoft or whoever tries to kind of shoehorn, you know, Windows into it, you know, just make it like a Windows Mobile or a Windows, you know, tablet Jones yeah. version or whatever. I mean, the reason the iPhone worked is because it was not a Mac. It's because they did away with the whole, you know, folders and shit like that. And yeah. they made a new OS that worked for the phone that anyone can use.
And there'd have to be a totally newly designed interface and even if not operating system to how you use this product. Because if it's even if it's like Mac-like, I don't think, you know, like trying to do an iPhone, can you imagine dragging your finger up there to the address bar and then you got to like type on this keyboard that pops, I don't know about it.
I think that's the biggest question mark for this whole tablet thing. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that it's going to be awesome for video games, but how are they going to do text input? Because text input, I mean, it works really well on the iPhone because, you know, the keyboard is so small, you can tap it with your thumbs. But if we're doing, like, a full-size keyboard on a touchscreen, I don't see how that's going to work. I mean,
well, depending, you have no depending tactile on the size feedback. Of this thing, give it a USB port.
Maybe. Or maybe they could build something into it. You know, maybe there's a little fold-out doodad or something.
I don't think
Apple doesn't do fold-out doodads. They just don't.
I like fold-out doodad
and
better than,
is,
like...
I hope they don't do a fold-out doodad, because that's another thing that can break on a phone.
Well, yeah, how big do you think this thing's going to be? I mean, you think it's going to be about, like, I'd say maybe 12 inches, and it's just the screen, pretty much? Like a 12-inch iPhone sort of deal?
I think it'll be a little smaller than that. I'm thinking
yeah,
10.
I'd say 10-inch on the diagonal.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, I think the implications of gaming on this device hinge on its commercial success, which I'm still not sold on. If it's commercially successful, then it will perhaps be a new haven for gaming.
Like any device that comes out, there's always a business for putting games on it.
I mean, yeah, there'll be games on it, but like if this thing goes the way of, you know, any of Apple's products in the 80s.
Yeah, the Newton.
Or the Lisa or any of those, right? I don't see like gaming happening that much on it. But it would be cool to like, you know, because iPhone's already got some cool stuff. You guys seen that like air hockey game? You know, and two people can play it on one iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, imagine doing something like that where you can have, like, multiple people playing on one since the play surface is much larger.
Well, I'm thinking of things that are...
For me, it's going to depend a lot more on how the device is actually used. Like, because, like, right now, you can hold your iPhone sideways, and it's sort of gamepad-shaped, vaguely. So you can have controls in the left and the right in the bottom corners, and it works like a gamepad and with a built-in screen. The question is, like, will you be able to hold your, you know, your iSlab like that, you know? Like, or will that be very unwieldy holding it in each corner, you know? So
yeah.
I think, you know, that, you know, is like, because if it works like that, you know, you can put the same size, you know, for instance, the game I'm working on right now uses an analog stick in one of the corners, and it's huge.
Yeah.
But on an iSlab, that can be the exact same size, and you're covering nothing on the screen now.
And can we just take a break here for a second? Have you guys played that new iPhone Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars?
No, have you?
Played it, but I do not have it.
Dude, like, this, it's genius. It works exactly like I want. Its graphics are, hell, they're probably better than the DS's. Dude, and it's like $10. So like, oh, do you want to pay $40 for this game on DS or $10? And you can play it anywhere.
Yeah, no, it's amazing, and it's doing phenomenally too.
Oh yeah, it's $10, and it's like number two or something in the App Store, and has been since it's been released, which means big fucking dollars because they're competing against, like, you know, Flick Sports, you know, for 99 cents.
Well, okay, so you were talking about the control paradigm for the iPhone, and I think, you know, people have figured out how to do your gamepad-like controls on iPhone pretty well, about as well as you're going to be able to do
it. It's still not great, but it does work.
But there was this
the problems that it has are the problems that it's always going to have, which is the fact that you have no tactile feedback.
Yes,
right.
But I think they figured it out pretty well. There was an adjustment period. So I think that for the tablet, I don't think that same kind of interface is going to work. And as a result, I think we're going to see different kinds of games. I think you have to think about like what the thing is best at doing, and then make your game that's tailored to that. So, for example,
JewelSwap.
JewelSwap is good, but think a little harder, Blake Buck. Think about Diablo. All right. You could put Diablo on the iPhone, and it would work great. Right. You could put a game like Plants vs. Zombies on the iPhone. That would work great.
Dude, could you imagine? What if they have been cooking a secret deal with Blizzard? All right, now wait a minute. Could you imagine? Like, I would have to go out and buy one the day it came out if Diablo 2 was on this thing.
Oh, man.
Hands down. No questions asked.
Well, you know,
I need
Blizzard
this.
Has always had a pretty close relationship with Apple.
It's certainly in the realm of possibility. And if they did that, that would establish it as a serious, like, gaming platform.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
I mean, also like with the size of the screen, and especially if this is one of those types of things where people are like, instead of holding it, they're putting it down on their table and using it like a, you know, sort of tabletop Jones. Mm-hmm. RTS games would be phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm thinking like like playing Homeworld on this thing, or like, you know, like Civilization, whatever. I mean, it'd be awesome.
Imagine playing like Homeworld with like gesture based gameplay where you could use like what was that I watched last night? You know, you seen District 9?
Yeah. Yeah,
be
like that.
You know what? Yeah, when he's like turning his hands on the computer and like going through. Oh, dude.
No, I'm from the future. I'll tell you what I want.
We're from the year 2010.
I want that tablet from fucking Avatar. You remember that thing that they had where they could just like, I don't know, it was like holographic tablet thing, and transferring files between two of them was just like swiping your hand or something like that. Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
Dude, those tablets were hella.
Dude, that movie was butt. Okay, butt.
I still have not seen it.
Compare that movie to District 9. Are you kidding me?
I will agree with you that District 9 was a better film. However, Avatar was immensely entertaining, and it was gorgeous. And so I had a good time watching it, and I'd go see it again.
It was like, but in a cartoon way. Like, District 9 was visually compelling in a realistic way, which I think is far more interesting. I'm on a blue people in an alien world. Well, fuck. I mean, you could do anything on an alien world,
and
I believe
it. This
could
be the Smurfs planet.
Yeah, I mean, like...
All right. Look, I thought the movie was good. I thought it was realistic. And look, 3D
I'm sure the visuals are phenomenal.
3D in my eyes. I'm sold on that.
The night elves frolicking in the rainforest.
Yeah, you know, that's like what he got his design from, right? He saw a night elf on Warcraft 3.
And he's like, I would like to have sex with that.
Actually, I think he wrote the script like 10 years ago, so...
Yeah, that's what they all say. Yeah. That's what anybody says who comes out with the, I wrote the script when I was 8 years old. This is a Lifetime production. Okay. It was on a napkin 10 years ago. You wrote it 6 months ago. At least I hope you did, because that wasn't much of a fucking movie.
Did you see it in 3D, Blake Buck?
I did see it in 3D. It added nothing to the film. Well, I don't get, what's the point?
Really? Because it seems like that's the reason why I would go see it.
I loved it in 3D.
I heard the visuals were fucking mind-blowing.
Maybe it's just because 3D. It's my first like 3D movie I've ever seen, but I'm sold on that. I want 3D pornography. That's what I want.
Dude, you know that's out there.
Oh, I'm
you
sure.
You know somebody's
sure.
made 3D porn.
Actually, I don't know how good... Like, that's kind of like HD porn. Like, I don't want to see all that detail. I want a little bit lower resolution than that.
That image is too large. Like, you open it up on your computer, you're like seeing, you know, a knee. Oh, God.
No, I mean, you know someone's already working on, like, a vaginatar. It's coming out,
dude. You gotta copyright that. All right, get it first.
Trademarked.
Avaginatar. That's all yours, buddy.
Oh,
so I think this thing has sort of. We're starting to see a rift in the mobile computing industry. I think with netbooks, with phones getting as you know advanced they are, with the Kindle, this thing may you know wouldn't it wouldn't surprise me if this Ice Lab. It probably has a backlight, but maybe it doesn't need a backlight for when you wanted it. Maybe they got some sort of deal with Amazon and the Kindle where you can read their books on a, you know, reflective surface without the need of a backlight.
And I don't know about that because, like, even I mean, if they didn't
like the Kindle does that whole, like, e-paper Jones.
It's way different technology than just having a screen without a backlight. I mean, even if you had no backlight, have you ever seen it when your iPhone turns off the backlight? It looks like butt. Like, especially if you're outside in the sun, it looks terrible.
Yeah, you remember the original Game Boy Advance?
Yeah, I don't know how effective it's going to be as an ebook reader, but I don't care. I read regular books. I want, like, a tablet computer that I can do other things
on.
Like,
I'm sure it's going to be able to do that, because I think that this is also going to, you know, go against things like the Kindle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly a market for it, you know. I'm sure Kindle-like, you know, there will be some sort of app or something that gives you Kindle-like functionality.
I mean, there already is for the iPhone.
Yeah.
There's tons of them. And then the way the App Store is laid out is that you can get a free book reader and then pay for books. That's totally supported with their own infrastructure. So,
you know what? I read the other day that Kindle released a development SDK for Amazon released SDK for Kindle. Like, I can imagine that developing software for that thing is like writing games for your TI-83. Like, that's about the extent of what that machine can do. Like, why would they do? What do you go write on that? The thing has a refresh rate of like one per page. Like,
dude,
what are you going to do?
Dude, Snake? You forget about this demographic.
Look,
that's a good point. Like, the refresh rate of the Kindle is not like cycles per second. It's one.
Yeah, it's like on-demand refresh. I want that game that's like gorillas throwing bananas at each other. What was that game?
Oh,
you
man.
Know? You know, on top of the city.
It was that QBasic program, dude.
I won. I'm going to get that. I'm going to write that in Kindle.
So, I don't know. I think the iSlab or Slate, hopefully they got a cooler name than all of these, like, pundits are coming up with, you know.
Yeah,
but,
and I don't know. iSlab, to me, conjures up like a steak. That's what I want.
Well, I think
slab.
The two big rumored names right now are the iSlate. And then the other one is people are thinking they're just going to call it the iBook.
I like iBook way better than iSlate. iPad and iBook are way cooler than iSlate.
I like
iSlate. Sounds like I'm buying
iPad
a rock.
And iPod, you know?
I'm buying a rock with internet.
Yeah, it sounds inherently low-tech.
How am I going to watch Avaginatar in this rock?
That'll be its first, dude, 3D glasses plus the iSlate plus iVaginatar equals the holy trinity of, like, computer-based medium.
And then there'll be some epidemic because people are getting depressed that the dicks in iVaginatar aren't real.
You know what this kind of reminds me of? This whole iSlate. Okay, so in the music world, I don't know if you've seen this product, William. There's this thing called Endemix, which is a digital audio workstation. It lets you make music and all that kind of thing. But it runs on like Linux netbooks. So they expect me to go out and buy like one of their like proprietary Linux powered netbooks.
Oh,
to use
this thing. Speaking of that, could you imagine like a MIDI controller application for this thing? Dude, how cool would that be? Oh my god! You could lay out the buttons wherever you wanted to. It could be completely programmable, and it could change depending on your set lists and stuff. Because it all would be there. I mean, there'd be no tactile feedback, but still,
yeah, that's
like
the most
get
important
some synthesizers
part.
That have more than two octaves.
Yeah,
man, that would be awesome. You could have like multi-touch controls and shit. Oh. Getting it.
Calm down.
I'm getting it.
Miller's busting nuts.
You know, another thing they're probably going to do with this thing is let you connect to a Mac with it, and you'll be able to, you know, control your screen and stuff. I'm sure that'll all be built in. That'd be pretty hot, too.
Yeah, it'll be all Bluetooth. Like, it'll be Bluetooth compatible.
Bluetooth?
Bluetooth.
Un-boon-tooth.
All right. Well, speaking of busting nuts, another article came on my radar today. Or not today,
came
but a couple
over.
Days ago. Came all over that radar. Final Fantasy 1 and 2, the PSP remakes, are coming to the iPhone. Now, I've been jonesing for an RPG for a while on my phone. I played through Vay. That was pretty good. That's like a port of a Sega CD game that I used to have.
It was all right.
It's okay. But this game, you know, these games for PSP were good. I played a little bit of the first one. And if they're on my phone, I'm going to play them up, baby. I want this to open door.
I played the shit out of these two games on the GBA re-release they had.
Yeah.
I'm excited, but they redid Final Fantasy 1 so well. Like, they took out every annoying thing of that game and replaced it with just awesome extra dungeons and more weapons and all that good
shit.
Yeah,
that's what I'm waiting for.
Look,
and then
I won't
Final
be excited.
Fantasy 2 is actually playable as a GBA version.
Huh. Oh, look, I won't be excited until Chrono Trigger comes out. All right, that's what I'm waiting on.
No, no, no. Look, the ultimate version of Chrono Trigger is on the Game Boy or on the DS.
Yeah.
That version is so good. I played through the whole thing, and it's so well done. Like, the hands down, I don't think you could even do it as well on the iPhone. I mean, it's so good.
I never even played that one.
Oh, it's a really, really faithful port, and the second screen is like where they dump all of the stats and menus and stuff when you're in combat. And so it's a lot less cluttered, and it just looks great. It's a great game.
Yeah, I mean, the only other version that I played besides that one and the original Super Nintendo was the PlayStation, where they had, I think, Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy IV. And it was just like loading every time you went into the subscreen.
At the same time, those cutscenes were really, really cool on that game, because they were done by the original artist.
As well.
Yeah, the DS has the same ones.
Oh, it has those same ones from the PSP.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yep. Dude, why have I not bought this yet? Oh, that's right. It's still $40 goddamn. When it comes out on iPhone, it'll be 10 max.
And it will drop to 4 after a month.
Yeah, and I'll feel like an asshole. Like, I even felt like an asshole but paying 10 for Grand Theft Auto. I was like, surely this won't drop next week. This is one of these, like, evergreen titles that's not going to drop. But mark my words, come tomorrow. Oh, $1, special one-day sale only.
Damn it.
All profit goes to Haiti. That's right, you guys. If you donate to us in the next, I don't know, year, all of our profits will go to Haiti.
You didn't know that?
You didn't
In fact,
know that,
all,
guys?
All previous profits have been donated to Haiti.
Did you guys see that? Did you guys see that benefit concert that they had a couple of, like, I don't, maybe 2 days ago for Haiti? That was funny shit. Like, they had Chris Rock up there with, like, Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali is just standing there, like, little drool coming out of his mouth.
Or were they both
No. Chris Rock was like, he was talking about Haiti or something. I don't know. And Muhammad Ali, like, literally did not know where he was. He was, he was like glassy eyed, kind of looking around. Like,
you know, he is kind of like senile.
No,
now.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. That's what happens when you box.
He's got some disease or something. No, he's got, like, I forget what it's called, but. Yeah, he's not there.
I'm sure the
it's
boxing
like when,
didn't
when
help.
They, when they brought the last two Beatles out for that Microsoft press conference.
Yeah.
So what the fuck is going on? Where are we?
Yeah, what have I like lowered myself to now? Where am I? Oh, God, I'm at a Microsoft press conference.
You know how much money that thing raised?
I didn't think they realized that much. I think there's, you know, we're getting paid to come out on the stage and, I don't know, beat the Beatles.
Oh, yeah, video games. Great. Beatles. There you go.
I don't even think you said the word video games.
I don't know what that is.
I think he said how happy he was to be there and left.
$57 million that thing raised. $57 million. We need to have a fundraising concert.
I don't even know.
Well, I'll put it in perspective for you. You know all those like Red Cross text message donation things that you see on TV all the time? Text 9099 to Red Cross, donate $10. All right, that raised like $10 million. And it's like the most lazy, convenient thing. You don't have to call anybody on the phone. They got like a bajillion hits on that. And this thing, you know, raised like 6 times that. It's crazy. So the next time we need money, guys, we need to get Chris Rock and Muhammad Ali to talk on our show.
Look, I think I got Chris Rock here right now. Come on over, Chris. Oh, white people be doing this and black people be doing that. Thank you, Chris. All right, well, if you want to donate, Chris Rock will appreciate it.
And it will go to Haiti. No, it's too soon. People are still buried in the rubble. We can't be talking about Haiti. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all.
This ain't coming out for like 3 days, so don't worry about it.
Anyway, so to pull it back to the Final Fantasy, what would you guys say is like, if you could pick one video game, it doesn't have to be an RPG or anything. What would be the one retro game you want to see brought to iPhone more than anything? Other than Diablo 2, that being obviously the best for all three of us.
I mean, Final Fantasy 1 and 2 for me hit, are going to hit a major kind of hole and iPhone games, there's really no like console RPG games on there besides like Vay.
I would want FF6. That's what I would want.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
That would be my game of choice. Because I think, you know, if you put any other kinds of games on there from my childhood, you know, like a Mega Man or something like that, it wouldn't be as fun on the iPhone just because the controls aren't as good. You know,
I mean,
if it's
Mega
like
Man 2 didn't really play all that well, and then they changed a lot of shit.
Well, a game like Mega Man 2, I think, wouldn't work. But what I want, though this will never happen, then again, I say never. The gaming industry is a very fickle thing. How about some Legend of Zelda? Boom, SNES Zelda. I want it on the iPhone.
See, I don't even think that game would work right.
I think it could.
Actually, the thing is, like, the NES games aren't that bad. I mean, there was that that NES emulator. It's called Nescalin that was up in the App Store for, like, 3 hours. And then in that time, Justin Fick snaked that shit. It was like $7, too. But, you know, you basically just, you know.
How do you load files into it?
Webpage.
Oh, that sounds like shit.
So they have to be downloaded from online, but, you know, then it downloads it to the app and it keeps it.
Yeah, I bet if you ran a search on, like, emulator, like, you used to do that, you know, once every few days, you could probably find one of those. I mean, I bet that dude reposts it under, Nescalin 2.0.
You know what I like to see? Marathon.
You know what we found out when you guys released Marathon is that nobody likes that game. Nobody likes it.
You. Marathon is awesome.
Nobody likes it.
All right, so let's see. Just Fick, what's your news you got for us?
All right, so Borderlands, our favorite game, is coming out with a third expansion. And according to the level designer, it's going to be the biggest yet. And so not only is this going to be bigger than Dr. Ned and the Underdome, it's also going to raise the level cap. So
so did they say what they're going to raise it to?
No, there's a lot of speculation if it's going to be like 5 levels, 2 levels, if they're just going to raise it all the way up to like 100 and let you max out your skills and, you know. So so they're going to announce something soon is what they're saying.
I say – they should probably take the cap. They should put the cap at wherever your skills stop at, I think. That seems like a good place.
Well, I mean, yeah, either that or let the levels go on infinitely and just cap the skills.
Yeah, maybe. Or don't cap the skills.
Yeah, I mean, or not. I mean, it's a type of thing now where if they really want to let people break the game, let them break the game. I mean, it's not like it's a Diablo where there's really this whole economy to you know, that needs to be balanced. Like, you know, it's really just, you know, people playing with their three buddies.
Right.
So if you want to let them break everything, then let them break everything.
Yeah, the game needs more DLC, though. I mean, they do need kind of a large DLC for the high-level players who are like, because I'm definitely getting, even though I hadn't played near as much as you had, dude, the level design in that game sucks so much dick. Like, oh, you're in Dirt Town. I was watching District 9. I'm like, you know what this is? This is like Borderlands the movie.
Damn, you just like you love that movie.
I just
you
watched
like
it yesterday.
Really, really like that movie. I mean, it's
dude,
good,
dude.
But.
Dude, I love it. I've watched it probably like 8 times since it's come out. I love that movie.
I mean, I saw it and it was all right. You know, I liked it.
You don't know
clever.
Shit. Shut up.
a little defensive there, are you? Look, my problem with that movie, Blake, was that the first part of it was really awesome and clever, and then the second part of it turned into like alien movie.
You're speaking to me like I can hear what you're saying, but I can't.
At the end, it seems like they switched producers or something, and then they
It was like two
movies.
I wanted to keep
I'm
that
not complaining.
Cool, like
I thought it was
that,
awesome,
but you can't
that cinema
you can't,
verite, like awesome, you know, camera stuff. All I wanted that all the way through the movie. It was like a documentary the whole time.
You,
Ken could,
you couldn't keep it a documentary because it wouldn't for the story. It would not make sense to keep that in
you
a documentary.
You could keep
style
it as a documentary if your writers and director were a little more creative. I think they dropped the ball. I think they could have done it,
dude.
And
that
would have made a better
movie. Exactly what it was supposed to be. You're thinking of something that is a totally different kind of movie, which I think they made the kind of movie they wanted to, and as such, they had to drop the documentary style about at the end of Act One.
I mean, it was good. I'm not saying it was bad.
If they
it's
kept
just
it the whole time, it wouldn't have been as exciting a movie as it was.
It was just disappointing to me.
Point being, another thing I wanted to talk about is, You know, did you guys see that ODST trailer slash commercial that he did? The Neil Blomkamp, the District 9 guy, did for
was that
Microsoft?
The one that was like with the kid and he's like going to war and they drop him out of a boat and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like a funeral or some shit, and their dude's like giving the 21 gun salute.
It was awesome.
That was cool.
It was
cool,
totally
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
It's that's why I like his style so much, and it, particularly even in that Halo trailer, is that, you know, like, it moves so fast that we see all this, we see a lot of story in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Which is something I think the gaming industry needs to fucking get in their head. Yeah. Halo OD. Hell, if Halo ODST was near as well paced as that trailer was, it would have been a lot better fucking game.
Dude, I loved ODST. That's actually my favorite Halo game. Single player anyway. The multiplayer is still Halo 3, but I loved the whole story and the way that shit unfolded, and I loved that game.
The level design got a little repetitive. I keep going back to the same little like hub world, you know, and there's not too much. I don't know. I don't know what I was looking for, but I wanted to like drive around. I don't know, lava planet or something. Just something different from like kind of the same places over and over again. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see the new Mass Effect trailer?
Oh yeah,
I've been
dude.
Trying not to watch anything because I still have not beaten the first game.
Listen, yeah, I never even played the first one because you know how I am. But look, Martin Sheen has called me to arms. I must go save the galaxy. Like anything he says, I do. I mean, that's just how it goes. Dude, I'm getting that game. I'm getting it.
Yeah, you know, I played Mass Effect 1, and it was so long ago that I don't remember really much of the story. So they're like, oh, Colonel Shepard's in trouble. I'm like, who was that? was that me? What? Who are you?
I don't care. He's telling me to go. I go. He was the president on West.
It looks like the trailers, they're trying to appeal Mass Effect to the kind of Call of Duty crowd. Like, they haven't, on all the trailers, they just show action, shooting, like, third/first-person elements, and none of the RPG, like, stats. Like, none of that is anywhere.
A lot of people are going to get bamboozled.
Isn't it funny how RPGs are becoming more like first-person shooters, and you look at Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, and with all the stats and unlocking stuff, you know, FPSs are coming more like RPGs?
No. Look, RPG is not about the statistics part. RPG is role-playing, right? So it's a story element that makes an RPG an RPG.
All games are role-playing.
No, it's not. I don't think it is. I mean, I think that's a big part of it, but I would not say that Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is moving in an RPG direction because that game had absolutely no story, and you switched roles so many times you had no idea who you were.
Well, okay.
Neither does
Borderlands,
and Borderlands is a phenomenal game.
Yeah, and it's
the story
if you
of Borderlands is shit.
Yeah, you would call Borderlands an RPG.
No,
would you
I would
not?
I would call Borderlands a roguelike, just like Diablo is a roguelike.
Okay, all right.
Roguelike is like it's like Borderlands and Diablo. There's well, not so much Diablo, but little story and it's all statistics. And it's
there's nothing randomly generated really in.
I don't think that's
besides the weapons.
I don't think that's necessarily a requirement. I don't think that's a requirement for roguelikes. I don't think you have to have procedurally generated anything for it to be counted
okay,
as a roguelike.
Because also, like, roguelike implies that it's like the game Rogue, which is a, you know, totally text-based ASCII game.
Okay, well, the term has taken on a different meaning. I mean, people classify Diablo as a roguelike.
Well, I think people classify Diablo as an RPG, and you just have some sort of highfalutin definition of RPG. RPG means stats, numbers, and skills. That's what RPG means.
Numbers go up.
So in that sense, you know, Call of Duty is more like an RPG, and RPG, you know, Mass Effect is more like Call of Duty.
Nope.
I like your retort, just kind of like a distant, echoey nope.
Because, I mean, like, you know, there is, like, an emphasis in story and a lot, especially, like, the Japanese games. The thing is, like, stories and games still, in general, they suck ass.
Yeah, usually. The Mass Effect's good. You really need to play through Mass Effect thing. Apparently, I do too because I don't remember it.
I do. I need to play through Mass Effect. You know what game? I booted up the other day. I downloaded that Final Fantasy VII tape. I started playing it, and then Aaron comes along and he always plays the games. He like beats the games that I start, and it makes me real mad. Like you see, he'll see that I've started a game. Like I started Castlevania Symphony of the Night the other day. He already beat the first couple bosses, and I'm mad at him.
But he, on your save game, or he? Or
yeah,
he
on my
his own
on my no, he'll play my game and beat it, and it makes me mad. So anyway, I've been watching him play Final Fantasy VII, which is what I do. I don't actually play games; I just watch him. That game makes absolutely no goddamn sense. No goddamn sense. It just doesn't. Story, you know, story in games, I agree. Nobody's really figured out how to do that yet.
I think a few, I mean, look, again, I like to harken back to my favorite, Half-Life 2. I've always said is how you tell stories in games. It's very minimal, but there's more implied. Implied story is what you want.
Yes.
Yeah, you cannot really do the whole, like, gameplay, cutscene.
You know what other game does that really well is Metroid. Super Metroid. Like, that has more implied story in it just by the level design than any other game I think I can remember.
There's no cutscenes in that game. Right. None. Except maybe one at the beginning. That's it. After that, it's all implied through the levels. Like, what happened here is implied through the levels.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's so much.
It makes it very atmospheric, too. Like you're going through the aftermath of all this stuff that's happened here.
Yeah, and at the same time, I understand that that's inherently kind of simpler than, like, you know, a narrative story, but, I mean, that's what games are good at. I mean, had you been playing Metroid, and there'd been, like, a little goblin man who was like, oh, give me to my home or some shit, I'd have been like, what the fuck? This is dumb.
I would say even games like, even Bioshock did that pretty well. I mean, it had a story that you played through, a linear narrative that you played through, but you got the whole backstory through the environments, which was done really well, I think.
Don't ever say anything good about that game around me, because I hate it. All right, so speaking of Half-Life, moving on here, a new rumor from Game Informer's rumor column claims that the long-awaited final installment of Valve's iconic series of Half-Life 2 Episode 3 won't arrive until next year, if it arrives at all. So basically, they said, I don't know, what is the official thing? I don't know. But they say they had from, like, an inside source, basically, that the game wasn't going to be coming out in 2011. And they were speculating that, well, because when Half-Life 2 Episode 2 was released, the graphics were already kind of dated. If they tried to release a game on the same engine now, it would be, like, super dated. And so they're probably going to roll it into a sequel, which will come out at a later date because they have to do all the graphical enhancements and whatnot.
It's the next Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah. What I think is more interesting to talk about is what Valve is going to have this year. Because I think this is likely that Episode 3 has gotten rolled into Half-Life 3 or whatever new, you know, big product is in the Half-Life series, and it's going to be delayed. But in the meantime, what are we going to see from Valve? Is it going to be another Left 4 Dead?
I think at the rate they're going, we can see Left 4 Dead 3, 4, and 5 this year.
I mean, do you think Left 4 Dead 3 would be a possibility? I mean, the game sold.
Okay, I think they have to do that because there is a very narrow window in which the populace is interested in zombies. That window closes quick, man. You got to get in there, get that shit done, and then get out because it's going to close on you.
As soon as zombies go out of vogue, they are out of fucking vogue. And they need to move on to pirates.
I mean, at the same time, I'm starting to kind of get behind the camp now, especially since I haven't had fun at all because of my dickweed friends with Left 4 Dead 2. But yeah, I think Left 4 Dead 3 is probably in the cards this year, at least for a year, because what else are they going to release? Maybe another Portal? That's what I think they should do. They should just, I mean, they could have another Portal product maybe launch with this big sequel, if there is in fact a big sequel, but I think a Portal 2 is very possible, and a Left 4 Dead 3 this fall. Now I get 8 Portals. I don't even know what that would do. Yeah, how do you innovate on Portal, really? I guess maybe switch up the environments, or I don't know. I don't know how you would change.
I mean, a lot of their puzzles sort of centered around putting brick on button.
Yeah.
So you know, they could probably do a lot more stuff, like, you know.
Maybe something with water, or...
No. Here's what it is.
Like cars are driving down a highway, you can put a portal on, you know, just like... I'd love to see a game where you just do shenanigans with portals.
Nope. Y'all are all wrong. Look. The two new features going into Portal are cover and destructible environments.
AI teammates.
Yeah, and AI teammates. That's Portal 2 right there.
Real squad members. Oh, and co-op. Don't forget. But not split screen, only over Xbox Live.
Actually, I would love to see co-op Portal. I would just portal my buddy like fucking... I would just be the biggest dick.
Now, they're going to do the like the PB Winterbottom thing where you like run the level a couple times and you can see your little like past mans running around.
Oh, yeah.
It would just be like mind fuck game. It would just come out and rape your mind, and that would be the game. Man, I remember hearing about that Winterbottom game coming out, you know, a million years ago, saying it was going to be a revolutionary indie game or whatever. It's still in and out. It's still in
and
out. Where's my game?
Dude, and the thing is, like, it's not that revolutionary either. Like, games have done that before. Like, I think this is just, like, this delusion that a lot of indie developers have their game is revolutionary. No. Like, if you're going to say your game is revolutionary, you better make goddamn sure your game is revolutionary. And there's really only, like, three revolutionary games in the history of the industry.
Yeah. That's
the first game ever, Tetris, and Doom. That's it.
So, yeah, I'm rather curious. You know, God forbid, maybe against all thought, they actually have a new IP that's going to come out this fall. Wouldn't that be amazing? And it's certainly possible. They've had more than a few years to think on this. It could be, I mean, then again, it could be something like a Team Fortress 3 or maybe a Counter-Strike.
The thing is,
you know,
they've had really good 100? Good experiences with new IP. Like, Left 4 Dead took off. Portal is, you know, is everybody's darling.
Yeah, and even like Team Fortress 2 is sort of a new IP. In that they created a very like distinct visual style for the characters and the levels and whatnot. I think you could call that a new IP.
Man, I hate Portal. You know why? I hate Portal because of the two stupid memes that came out of that game. The damn cake, I hate that. And I hate the stupid song. I hate Portal because of those two things.
Dude, I sung that shit on Rock Band last night.
It's so fucking stupid. Like, what the fuck, man?
Dude, I think it's awesome that games, you know, that the stuff in that game is so iconic that it instantly turned into memes.
Nah, fuck
that. Oh, and you forgot the third meme, which is the companion cube.
Ah! Goddamn cube.
If you'd like to donate a plush companion cube to William Miller, donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com.
Dude, I love companion. Okay, just because faggots on the internet have ruined something doesn't make the original something bad. Okay, that makes the faggots bad.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, that whole companion cube scene from that game is one of the funniest things I've seen in a game in a long time.
I guess it boils down to
the funniest part being that you don't even need to hear it.
I just hate internet people. Hate people on the internet. Yeah, that must be what it is.
I just hate the internet.
I just hate the... Yeah, take the internet away from
people.
Me. I don't like it anymore.
If I had a dollar every time I went on Kotaku and saw, like, a Portal-themed cake.
Oh.
Like, All right, so, look, I'm done with this. So, hopefully, maybe a new IP. Maybe a new release from one of the... You know, these kind of spin-off games. But I agree. I don't think we're going to see a new Half-Life title this fall. All right, now it's time for releases.
All right, this week in releases, no surprise here, Mass Effect 2 for the PC, Xbox 360. And is it coming out for PS3 too?
It doesn't say it is. They might have...
I don't think it is a PS3 game. I think that was an Xbox exclusive. I could be wrong.
Well,
I'm pretty sure it's Xbox exclusive.
Microsoft owns BioWare, so that seems likely.
All right. We all know what that game is. So we also got Mag.
Oh, wait, no, they don't. I made that up. Does Microsoft own BioWare, or did I just make that up? No, EA publishes BioWare.
Yeah, I think... I don't know if they own them, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll look that up later. All right, so what else we got?
I can tell you right now what you're reading off. Hold on. Go ahead.
Let's talk about Mass Effect 2 for a second. Do you guys think this is going to be good? Do you think it's going to live up to the original? I mean, what do you guys think?
Without having beaten the original, I couldn't tell you because I don't know what it has to live up to.
I don't know. I'm not 100% sold. It looks good, but at the same time, I don't know. I got my reservations. It seems like they're trying a little too much. Like, I'm watching these trailers, and they got all the plot's like times 10 more complicated than it was in the first one. So, I don't know. There's this, like, man who's in this big room. Who's that? I don't know.
not PS3, by the way.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, let's move on to Mag. What is this?
Massive action game. And I've been hearing, like, some things about I don't know. It's a massively online multiplayer action game with two. Oh yeah, this is a 256 player per battle like war game. Yeah.
Alleged 256 player.
We'll see.
I'm looking at screenshots. I'm seeing about five dudes on the screen at once right now. I'll see 256. You show me 256 people running around in a screenshot, Sony.
Yeah. We also got Tatsunoko versus Capcom Ultimate. What is this? Tatsunoko?
People Ultimate All Stars?
What is Tatsunoko? Oh, he did G-Force, like Gotcha Man. Yeah. That's right. You remember Gotcha Man? I don't know. They had an English release of that. It's like an old school anime Power Rangers sort of. You know, like it kind of looks like Speed Racer. Kind
of. Yeah, I'm clicking on the screenshot. This looks absolutely retarded, but like you would love it because you're gay as shit.
That must be why.
Oh, well, it looks like it's actually not 2D. It looks like it's actually 3D modeled with cell shading. That actually looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
You guys seeing these screenshots?
Yeah.
I don't know. This could be interesting.
Yeah, people are excited about this game.
But people are also dumb. They also make Portal cakes, so who knows? Up next, we got, coming out on the 26th, No More Heroes 2, Desperate Struggle. Now, I heard, okay, so they released No More Heroes 1. Then they were like, well, it didn't sell so well. We're going to release it on Xbox now. And then they were like, no, wait, just kidding. We're going to put it on the Wii again. So
the first one is still coming out for Xbox 360.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay, potentially the sequel is as well.
I would buy it again, because I never beat it on the Wii, just because I'm so sick of waggle controls that I can't take it anymore.
I don't understand this decision. Like, if you're presented with the option to release your game on Xbox versus Wii, it's like, do we want to sell 2 million copies of this game or 500,000 maybe copies of this game? I don't know.
I think the thing is, really tough decision. They still see if there's like 6 billion Wiis out there.
Yeah, I think their board of directors is like, they're in Japan. They're all looking at the chart track on the wall. We strong number. Apparently they're Indians now. But yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the numbers from Wii seems like a strong platform, but for an M-rated game with kind of a weird slant to it, I don't see how this can get traction on the Wii. Even though the first one was amazing. Vic, you played it, right?
I love the first one.
Dude, this game is insane. William, have you seen this game?
I've seen screenshots of it.
Dude, it is insane.
You gotta see it like in motion, though.
Yeah, you have
it's
to.
It's just fucking
wacko. You have got to buy this game. It's like so funny, and it's like hyper violent, and like it's self-referential, and it's too hilarious. You've got to play it. Anybody that hasn't played No More Heroes 1, you can find it in the bargain bin. It is $7 now.
Jank of the week.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited. When is the original coming out on 360?
I'm not sure actually. Let me see if I can look that up.
Is it gonna be on XBLA or like a full game?
No, it's gonna be a full on Jones.
Really?
Yeah.
It seems like that would look like ass though on the Xbox. I don't know. I can't imagine
look like ass on the Xbox? Like everything looks better on the Xbox, period.
No, but I mean like the graphics fidelity is like so simple on the Wii. You know, it seems like it would look I guess the style is really what this game's all about anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Like you really wouldn't Like, there's really nothing that needs improvement. There's nothing photorealistic, really.
Yeah. Dude, you get... Okay, William, like, in this game, you get a truck. Or what is it? You get like, this Cadillac.
Yeah, a motorcycle.
Yeah, a motorcycle. And you just drive it around town and kick ass all time. Like, it is hilarious.
I like that.
All right, well, let's... Did you find it yet, Pick?
Actually, yeah, February 25th, it comes out on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. So I'm going to be buying it again just because I never beat it. Just because, like, honestly, like, I am getting pretty anti-Wii.
I know. I'm telling you, man. Because
a wonderful game could come out, and I'll be like, oh, this looks awesome. Oh, it's on the Wii.
Yeah, it's like, it's like they've taken their core gamers, and if not even all gamers, and like what they teased us with in the beginning, we're now just getting shit shovelware like over and over and over. Then again, I guess it works. I guess it sells. It's sort of like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is, but...
I was trying to explain to a friend of mine the other day why video games based on movies are always shit. It's like, would this game sell well even if it wasn't any good just because of the title? Yes. Then why pay the money to make it good? It's not going to sell much more if it is good.
That's so true. You're not as, that's pretty. There's some exceptions to that rule. The Chronicles of Riddick was a really good game. You remember that one?
Well, usually it's inversely proportional. If a movie is shit, usually the game is good.
See also Doom.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think the Wii is getting to the point now where it's like we don't even have to make it good. As long as we put fucking anime BBs in it or jewels to swap.
SpongeBob.
Yeah, SpongeBob. We can at least sell 200,000 copies and at least break even.
Yeah, did you guys hear that Avatar game tanked? Ubisoft did the Avatar game. Apparently, like, it was okay, but it, you know, nobody, they released it too early. They blew their load too early. And so, you know, nobody who was trying to savor the movie experience went out and got the game. It was like, nobody bought it. It was not very good. And apparently, also, like, the gameplay was okay.
The whole thing just sort of stank of, like, generic movie tie-in.
Yeah, and then this
is just, you know, being sold alongside Avatar mugs and Avatar T-shirts and Avatar dildos
and the guy that runs the show over there at Ubisoft, he was like, yeah, we're not making IP games anymore. We're not making IP tie-ins. No dice.
So wait, they've already like declared it a failure. Like,
yeah, Ubisoft has come out and said we're not doing movie games anymore. Pretty much.
Wow.
Because it was such a bad, really, and they put a lot of money into making it. So
then again, Prince of Persia is a movie now. So I don't know how true that statement's going to be. Anyway, what else we got on this list? Shadow of Destiny. I don't know what the fuck this is.
Yeah, the rest of this is like garbage.
Yeah, well, this is all kind of butt. Oh, wait, look at this Xbox game. Blood Space Bowl.
Okay, so I've actually seen trailers for this game, and it's football. All right, this actually ties into our discussion last week about football. It is a football game set in the Warhammer Fantasy universe. And so
you can
kill people and throw, you know, like, I don't even know. You could be dwarves and trolls and stuff.
Dude, this looks awesome. Are you kidding?
I see a line of fat dwarf linebackers.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, flip through these screenshots. These are amazing.
Yeah. Blood Bowl does look very cool.
Blood Bowl looks great. I don't know if it will be good. Dude, this
can totally upend the whole, like, fantasy thing. Like, you know, like the dwarves are the warriors and the elves are the mages. No, dwarves are linebackers and elves are wide receivers.
Look at the fourth screenshot. Like, they got, like, the two towers from Lord of the Rings they're battling under.
Yeah, there are all these hazards in the levels that could kill you. So you have to be careful not to, I don't know, fall off the world or get impaled by spikes or stuff like that.
Oh, this looks great.
There's a trailer out there. I don't remember where it went, but look, it looks good to me.
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to be worth $50. Like, I see this doing is a lot better as like an XBLA game because I can't imagine like $50 for, you know, kind of a jokey. Then again, it could be really fun. So I don't know.
Looks fun to me.
But usually these spoof titles don't do real well. I mean, what comes to mind? Armed and Dangerous. What are some other of these kind of like spoofy sort of titles? I don't know. I can't think of any at the moment. Mm. All right, so what do we got next? Now it's time for judgment. So, Justific, you have an official judgment this week on a title we talked about last week, right?
Kind of, sort of. I haven't bought it yet, but I kind of want to. So I went. So after the show, I went and got the Serious Sam HD remix.
Uh-huh.
And I really enjoy it. I mean, you know, I mean, it depends a lot on how you feel about Serious Sam. Like, for those that don't know, Serious Sam is basically take a first-person shooter, take out any semblance of story whatsoever, and just add, like, 5,000 dudes and guns that just shoot, like, the biggest fucking bullets ever.
Oh, my God.
It's just insane.
There's a trailer for this on Xbox Live. It's not the first trailer, but the second one that came out. It is, oh my God, so funny. They've edited together like a cheesy like infomercial, and I can't even like describe it. It's so funny, but like they're like, you could see up to 5,000 enemies at once. It's the same game as 2003, except with more HDDDDDDD.
HDDD graphics.
Yeah, it's got it can pump up to 10 million flagrons per minute per hour. you got to watch it. It's real funny. But yeah, they
so, like the HD remix really does, you know, capture the gameplay of the original. It still plays just as fluid, like it's a very pure like first person shooter.
I love it, dude. You play this game, and you are totally like in the present when you're playing this game. Like, there's no thought about like, oh, what do I do next? It's very clear all the time. Like, there's no higher level thought. In fact, sometimes I get stuck because like, I'll get stuck in that game because it's like I'm running around and I go into a room, right? And I'm so caught up that I go back in the room I was just in and I don't even remember. Like puzzles don't work in this game because the part of my brain that activates that higher level thinking, it's not on.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is very much if you were to make Kill Monty a first person shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah, Serious Sam.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I mean, you know, it like and like the gameplay holds up very well. Like it's very replayable, but just because playing through it is so much fun.
This is very true.
So I mean the only cons I could really think of for it are if you're, I don't know, a pussy, then you know you might complain about the difficulty of this game because like there's enemies just pouring at you.
Yeah.
And it's, you know,
I was playing on normal and I was like, this is not hard enough because I've beaten this game on normal. I was like, maybe I should up it to hard, but then I'd probably be getting my ass kicked most of the time and would not end up not beating it. What do you think, Justin Fick? What are you gonna play it on?
I ramped it up to hard and I was having fun with it. I mean, I only did the trial, so yeah. I didn't go through the whole encounter.
Yeah, but I bet by the end, hard's gonna be like ass rape.
It gets pretty crazy.
Because even normal was like ass rape by the end. I don't know. Mm. I may go back and swap it. Dude, there's so many secrets in that game. I was trying to beat the first level. You know, if you run out on that porch, you know, at the beginning, that like long sidewalk thing. All those dudes appear out in the sand.
The other thing that's nice about this game too is it's very much not tube. Because we were talking about games that just basically are tubes now, and just you go down the correct tube. Like,
well, I remember the last level of Series Sam was like field. Remember the last level of Series Sam was like it was like field with like meteors falling on you and
I think that's Series Sam 2. Yeah, like at the end of second encounter. Like the end of second encounter is you like turn on this thing and you have to last until midnight or dawn the next morning. And so like you see the sun go down and then all these fucking enemies start spawning in this massive open field and you have to last maybe like 10 minutes of just endless waves of enemy. It's amazing. Yeah, and at the end, like meteors are coming out of the air, like exploding. There's lightning and shit. It's awesome.
It's the most extreme thing, like, ever.
That's all I want to play.
So it kind of ditches that whole, like, you know, the whole, like, I'm in this engine that was, you know, it seems like, I don't know. It's very open. It's very, it feels uncontrolled. Yeah. Because, like, you know, playing through, like, any first-person shooter now, like, it feels like I'm being led down this hallway.
Technically, it is still tube. I mean, the level progression is still linear, but the environments are much larger and more open, I think, is what we're getting at.
Yeah, I mean, it's not tube in the sense that, you know, here's the hallway you go down to progress in the game. Here's this ancillary hallway you go and get this weapon pickup or something.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, like it is not – this is pre-tube. This is a pre-tube game.
Now, one thing I mentioned last week is that it does not have split-screen co-op, which the original did. Very disappointed. Even the PC version had split-screen co-op. Do you remember, William Miller, I tried to get dual monitors Serious Sam working at one point?
Yeah, and it had dual keyboard support, too. Yeah. So you could plug in two keyboards and mice in there and two monitors.
I think
monitors.
We eventually got it working
I think
once.
We did, too. Or if you had dual monitors single player, you had all your stats and stuff on another screen.
Oh, yeah. That was
really
so cool. So yeah, Serious Sam, it's a good game, but I need somebody to play with Thick. You and me got to play this later. We'll play some co-op.
All right, yeah, I got some change left over from buying the Portal song over and over again on Rock Band.
Oh, dude, you know what? Okay, you know what I did last night talking about Microsoft points? I spent a dollar on the dumbest thing I have ever spent a dollar on in my life last night.
You buy something for your avatar?
It's an indie game. And I think we've all seen, I think you might have seen this. It's called Don't Be Nervous Talking to Girls.
What?
It's this game where there's this video girl and you talk to her and you try and pick things that she likes, right? So like you pick like where you want to go, like, oh, I'm gonna go to the coffee shop, and she's like, hi, I like coffee. And then so you pick what answer you want, and it's like, oh hi, my name's Blake. Yeah, whatever. And you have to like pick the right responses. But so,
dude, I should write a game like that. It yeah. would be like, hi, I like coffee. Response, I want to insert myself into your vagina. Post haste.
But it's so funny because, like, sometimes hi, my name's Jessica. And then you can pick, like you say, I already knew that. And she's like, oh, really? How did you know that? And then you can pick, like, I just got lucky, I guess. This was the answer. You pick just get lucky, I guess. And she goes, I don't believe in luck. I think you're a stalker. Help, police. That's actually in the game. It's supposed to make me nervous, not nervous talking to girls. And like, she's this insane bitch who calls the police when I say I'm lucky. Anyway, there were a group of people over here and we were having too much fun. I was like, you know what? This is worth a dollar to see this to the brutal end.
See, here,
excuse me, does this rag smell like chloroform to you?
look, this is a very simple problem. The trick is, here's the trick, and this is actually a truism for both men and women. Women like to talk about themselves, all right?
Is this relationship expert William Miller?
Now listen, watch this. Hey, Blake.
Hey, what's up, man?
Not too much. How about you?
Oh, I was polishing this thing the other day, and not my dick, but then I was on the internet, and I looked up this funny thing. You're really nice.
Yeah, see, there you go. How about that? So, I heard you like penises.
Oh, yeah, they're great because they're long, and you can put them in things, and sometimes they're hard for no reason. It's really strange. Mine's hard right now. Want to touch, and then we're in love.
And scene. There we go.
All right. Well, now you don't need to spend those 80 Microsoft points.
That game.
No, seriously, the whole time. Okay, so at the end, she's like, okay, well, I'm going to give you my number now. And it says, like, memorize her number in 5 seconds, which I don't understand what this is trying to mimic. Like, is she supposed to say it out loud and I'm trying to remember it? Like, if she wrote it down, I would just take the paper.
Yeah, why don't you write it down on a piece of paper, you inconsiderate twat?
So, anyway, you have to memorize the number. It's just, I guess, one of the parts of the game. But afterwards, it comes up with, you know, the Microsoft insert, like, character screen, you know, where you can type things. And you're supposed mm-hmm. to type in the number. So, it said, you got it wrong. Her number is 530 blah, 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 blah. You typed in, fuck you, you bitch.
This number is no longer in service.
So if you want to waste a dollar, go buy Don't Be Nervous Talking. Anyway, we're talking about Serious Sam. I don't know how we got on that.
So, Blake Buck, does Serious Sam have the Serious Cannon still?
I believe, yeah, the Serious Cannon is my favorite weapon in the game. It's basically a big tube that shoots out ball that kills everything instantly.
That's my favorite weapon in any game. I mean, you don't get any more like primal and visceral than that.
Yeah, and like what I love about it is you shoot it right, but it's not like a gun where you shoot it like, you know, the BFG from Doom. It's a big ball and it blows stuff up, but then it kind of dissipates. No, this ball continues to roll around the level far after you've shot it. It can ricochet and continue to kill people. Yeah, you can be run over by this thing if you're not paying attention. So, yeah, I think I'm going to play on normal. That way I can, because otherwise I'm not going to get to Serious Tube. I got to get to that.
Well, dude, I will unlock this heat. I will play with you.
Yeah, we need to, we need to get to the end, unlock everything, and then just play that last level on, like, rape difficulty and be men.
I'm down.
All right, so thumbs up just for me. Justin Fick, what do you say?
Big time thumbs up.
Though 15 is a little much, I think. 10 would have been a nicer price point, but what are you going to do?
I mean, it is totally HD, and they did it HD in a way that, is awesome.
Like, well, it's not really. When they say HD, the original was. I mean, if we're talking pure resolution, the original was in HD. But they've upgraded the assets.
You know, new graphics that actually look good and not like, you know, the new graphics on Monkey Island where you turn them off in the first 5 seconds because they suck.
You know, I actually didn't mind the graphics in Monkey Island.
And
I think
that's just you, Fred.
I didn't mind the voice acting either. I thought it was okay.
I couldn't stand the graphics. I couldn't stand the voice acting. I couldn't stand the interface. Like, I mean, I love the original, and that's probably why. But, like, I had to go back to the original version.
Dude, I got
to
get that Monkey Island, man. I still haven't played it.
A lot of the jokes work because they're typed and because they're read, not because they're spoken.
See, when William Miller got that game, he couldn't read, and so he never played it, right? And so
I
never had
the original.
Like, yeah, so I never had any kind of attachment to that game.
This is not a joke. Like, you really couldn't read.
No,
right?
I really could not. I'm dyslexic, so I could not read at the time. It took me a while.
How old were you when you were actually able to read? Like, good.
I'd say like fifth grade, probably fourth or fifth grade is when I figured that out.
No wonder you were so fucking stupid. Like, it all makes sense now. You retard. I was reading Chaucer and shit in the fifth grade.
You don't even know who that is.
He's a Pokemon. All right. So, do we have a jank? Do any of us have a jank?
Not really.
We could just say don't be nervous talking to girls for Oh, dude, have I told you guys about Goblin Stomp?
Dude, I played that. It sucks.
Dude, whatever. Whatever. All right, jank of the week this week. Screw you, Justin Fick, is Goblin Stomp. All right, now William Hill, you don't ever have your Xbox hooked up. I'm going to describe this game to you.
All right.
First of all, it's $1. Let's just get that out of the way. It's an indie game. But you play Chap Scallywag, who is this, like, you know, 18th century, like, shopkeep who owns, like, a shoe store or something.
All right. And I'm losing interest. My meter's going down. Well, let's bring this home, Blake Buck. Come on.
Okay, so you're standing in the street, right, out in front of your store, and it's got these very silly cartoon graphics, and these little goblins start coming up trying to bite you. So you stomp on them, right? So you stomp one or two, no big deal. Then you stomp about 20, and you get the big stomp. Now you can do this monster stomp, but suddenly now there's like maybe 30 or 40 goblins on screen at once. And now you can start dropping mines, and you got these mines that'll blow up on the goblins. Now there's probably around 100 goblins on screen at once. By the end of it, there's just like thousands of goblins on the screen that you're trying to kill with all your power. It is hilarious. I love it so much.
The thing is, like just... When I was hearing you describe it to me, I was like, oh shit, this sounds kind of fun. And then I played it, and just like the graphics are so bad, and I don't know.
It's very basic, but I think it's really funny, and it's still fun to play, and it's a buck, and I love it. Whatever, screw you, Justin Fick. It's easily my favorite indie game, because keep in mind most indie games like suck cock times 10.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. Like, in indie games are garbage. I think there's a couple I enjoyed more than the Goblin Stomp. Like, Jesus. There was the Carnivale, which I played for...
Oh, yeah, that was kind of interesting.
Seconds, which, you know, which was longer than I played Goblin Stomp. I played, really, all these indie games are, like, maybe 5 minutes of playtime.
Yeah, that's true. You know? Well, you probably never got to the end part where there's like thousands of zombie or of goblins. You need to get that far, Fig.
I got to the point where you get the mines.
Oh, well, see, that's only like maybe like 2 minutes into it.
Yeah, well, that, you know, I was kind of losing my chub by that point.
Oh God.
I wasn't in the mood anymore.
All right. We need to talk about the iPhone App Store. I mean, this might even be a better discussion since we were talking about iPhone and iSlate earlier. Mm-hmm. But about half of the things in top 10 on the free side are like, look at these boobs, right?
Well, not only that, but look at these boobs which belong to this porno site and are probably copyrighted images.
Yeah, and like not only that, but like... But, okay, so let's just say you had illegally, because there is blatant copyright infringement on the app store. What, there's like there's some Mario sound app that's number one?
Yeah,
hello?
Number one on free. Yeah, it's like, how is this not noticed?
Yeah, who's like, yeah, that sounds legal. Let's let that slide. Like, who are the app store overlords who are just like, ah, whatever. No big deal.
The thing is, I think, like, their whole, like, you know, their whole approval committee or whatever they got going on over at Apple and their little black box, I don't think there's enough of them.
Yeah, there probably isn't.
I think they just got like a couple of teams and they weren't ready for, I think we're up to like 150,000 apps now.
Yeah, there's probably, you know, thousands of apps being submitted every day, probably.
Oh, no, yeah, easily.
You know, what was that? There was some controversy a little while ago about this. Apparently, there was a 4chan image browser that was put on the App Store, and they ban it, right, because it's 4chan.
Mm-hmm.
However, they still, the argument was, if you're going to ban this, you also have to ban Safari and Bing. Bing especially, because apparently Bing is like the best porno browser you can buy, because it has this image search feature. And you just type in porn in the image search feature, and it's like a never-ending stream of porno pictures on your
phone. Dude, that's how they'll win the browser war. It's not the advertisements.
That's right.
You know, it's not the product placement and everything. It's be better at finding boobies.
You know what I think Bing is a genius idea? Because it's from Microsoft, but I don't think people know that. Like, it's a secret.
No, it's pretty obvious that it's from Microsoft.
I heard that they're going to switch the default browser in on the yes. iPhone to Bing because of the Google phone. It's like competition from Google.
I think they're recognizing that Google is now the adversary.
Right.
That's true.
But nobody likes that. Nobody likes that phone.
This is like the Zerg and the Protoss teaming up in StarCraft Brood War.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me. Nope. A, nobody bought that dumb phone from Google. And B, Android sucks dick compared to the iPhone. Like, I don't know how why people haven't figured this out. Like, you watch the Sprint commercial, right? Oh, these three people are stuck on the ski lift. What's this one going to do with his his Sprint phone? Oh, he's going to look up an app from the 100 app store. Oh, boy.
Like, we have hundreds of apps.
Oh, we got Facebook and Pandora and Weather Channel. Like, what the fuck, man?
No, my favorite commercial is the one where, so it's got like the little robot parts and it's like manipulating this droid phone. And it's talking about like asking me if my phone surfs the internet and then asking me if my phone surfs the internet faster than a pro surfer at Pipeline and shows the internet in all its glory and all its attended pixels and shit. I'm just standing there like, I'm pretty sure I could surf the web faster than a pro surfer at Pipeline. Like, this you know, the pro surfer's probably busy fucking surfing. And I can't picture him being all that good at computers. I'm sure I'm quicker than him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure my internet has all the glory. I don't know if it's maybe like 85% glory or if some of the pixels are not fully attended or whatever the fuck they're talking about. Like, it's just basically a 2-minute long commercial that says our phone has internet.
Yeah, it's too little too late, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. But then again, I really like, have you guys looked at the Google app on the iPhone? It is amazing. Like, I put it to my ear and I say, anything, and it finds it.
You know, like you know what you say, Blake Buck.
Boobies.
And vagina tart.
No, but like I was trying to find like directions to some place, like some restaurant. It's like I just put it to my face, say Oxford, Mississippi, and then I click get directions, and I'm driving there. It's like the simplest way to accomplish any search. Way easier than Safari.
I'll try that out.
Anyway, the best, what I was getting to is, okay, so they have, if you look at the top 10 apps, there are a lot of these, like, almost pornographic titles where they have girls who are naked, but they put, like, little stars over their boobs or over the nipples,
yeah,
right?
Eye pasties or what have you.
I don't understand. I guess, it's not even me attacking Apple. It's, I don't understand how, like, in America, it's okay to have this where anybody can access it, you know, like seeing 99.99% of a boob. But like if you can see that extra 1%, oh well then you can't have it on the App Store. That's illegal. That's wrong. What's the difference? It feels so stupid to me.
Well, I think what Apple's really doing is they're very hands off. Like I think they're just trying to provide this this medium for distributing these apps, and the only action they're taking is what is, you know, is the same action that people are taking against them with their own lawyers. Like, for instance, I just heard about apps that are getting rejected now because someone trademarked the name Tower Defense.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, it's really just because they filed a complaint against these new apps being released now is that, you know, are the reason that they're being pulled. But for instance, Nintendo probably has not even talked to Apple about this, about the fucking Mario soundboard that's chilling on the top 10 list in the free apps right now.
Right.
You know, it's like, I think, like, someone with a lot of money, you know, once they go to Apple, you know, and say, oh, you know, take this off, we're going to sue you, Apple's going to be like, okay, well, maybe we need to do something about this shit.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, why is it that Apple can deny, I mean, okay, so there's no adult content on the iPhone App Store, right? But I mean, if they're trying to promote a free marketplace, I don't see why they can't have that. Why can't you? I mean, not that I am particularly rooting for pornography. Who really wants to watch porn on their phone anyway? But, I mean, I'm sure the market is there. And is it Apple's place to say you can't access this adult content?
Well, sure, I mean, it is.
It is totally their marketplace.
I mean, I understand,
you know,
that.
They can do whatever they want with it. I mean, it's more of, you know, of their perception or people's perception of them. Like, if they allow porn, then, you know, are the, you know, the people who complain about hot coffee and Grand Theft Auto gonna be all up in arms and, you know, grab pitchforks and torches? And
this is sort of the idea between, like, openness and, like, private ownership. You know, it seems like more and more this debate, this is the same debate as net neutrality, right? Like, the internet's supposed to be free and unregulated, but at the same time, you know, internet providers are trying to filter out illegal content. Consumers are like, you can't filter our content, so we're going to sue you. And it's like, oh, well, now we have to enforce these rules on this private company as a government, right?
Yeah.
That's not exactly what net neutrality is, Blake Buck. Net neutrality is the two-tiered internet, right? You pay more, you get to go to different internet. That's what net neutrality is.
No, because it's never come to that yet. That's not exactly what – it's not coming.
It's also certain providers, you know, having infrastructure that impedes the ability to surf from other providers.
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, that's – they, you know, this is my company. According to this same argument you just used, you know, if I'm a private company, I can do whatever I want, you know. I'm a private entity. But at the same time, it's like – we have to be able to enforce some openness. I mean, in the same way that AT&T can't deny me access to quote unquote premium internet, can Apple deny me access to adult content on the App Store?
I think it's different. I don't think the Apple iStore is really a net neutrality kind of thing.
It's in the same ballpark, I think.
I mean the iTunes Store just is a privately owned, you know, by Apple entity. The entire thing, they have control over their marketplace. You know, that there's really nothing you can force on them because it's their marketplace. You know, I mean, really all you can really do is if, you know, suddenly there's this, you know, deluge of porn apps or something, you know, like hardcore dick apps or so, what have you, then people will be like, okay, well, you know, now this marketplace is this festering cesspool of dicks, you know.
I think if you had an app store that was available that had adult content that could be toggled on and off the same way Google does it, you know, with like safe search, you can, you know, by default it is off, but it can be toggled on, you know. I don't see why that shouldn't be allowed. I think the
parental controls are starting to become, you know, like you can actually access, you know, limit the types of apps that, you know, people can use. And, but I mean, you can still go on the, you know, just click the App Store tab, and, you know, in that, you know, right in the front page of the App Store, you will see boobs.
Well, it's sort of like gaming. You know, you can't release a pornography game on the Xbox for a variety of reasons, most of which being, when you boil it down to it, it won't be financially successful because, you know, you can't, it won't be able to be distributed in stores, blah, 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 blah. But in the age of like digital downloads with the apps, none of that distribution cost is going to be there. It's all essentially free to distribute, right?
Yeah.
So I think that eventually we are going to move towards like a, you know, more adult themed, two tiered perhaps, or not two tiered, but you know, normal and then like, you know, 18 plus apps or whatever.
Because I mean, you know, because like right now with music, they just simply have that explicit tag.
Right.
I mean, that's not going to be enough for games just because, you know, you can't have a pornographic song.
Right, but let's say you made a really, like, you know, artistic, compelling game that had some, you know, pornographic elements. I don't even know what this is, but I'm just making this up. But
well, for instance, take God of War, has booby scene.
Right. Then again, that's a kind of a tacked-on booby scene. That could be eliminated with no real qualms, right?
Yeah.
But let's, I don't, whatever this game is, I don't even know what it is. But there's nudity in it, and that's sort of a big part of it for whatever reason. I don't know. This is something I'm making up. But is it Apple's right to say you can't distribute this game on our store because of our rules?
Sure. Yeah. They can say,
it's,
you know.
It's their marketplace. Yeah. They can do whatever they want.
They can do whatever they want.
Oh, you can. Okay, you can. I understand that. You can. But is it ethical? I mean, eventually, yeah. we're talking long term. Do you think? I think that eventually they're going to have to open it up at some point. Maybe not.
No, they will never have to open it up. It's their thing. They can do whatever the hell they want with it.
I'm talking long term. I'm talking 20, 30 years from now. It's not going to be like, you know,
when socialism overruns the United
States. No, I'm just saying like okay, look, these booby apps ain't going away from the iTunes top 10.
Yeah.
List, and I think Apple's either going to do something about it, is going to have to do something about it eventually.
Well, I mean, the question is, what exactly do you do? You know, it's like basically they had these rules in place, and people, you know, just because there are 150,000 apps in the App Store, people have found the limit of what they can get away with releasing. So, you know, you can't have nipples and dicks, but you can have pasties and bikinis and, you know, that and that kind of thing, and that's you know what you are seeing now. You are seeing the racist stuff that is allowed, you know, with the rules. So I mean, like, you know, if they do anything, at some point they'll change their rules. Be like, you know what, you know, maybe, you know, booby apps aren't allowed anymore, or, you know, like, you know, or for instance, like apps that have, you know, strong sexual content, which is a checkbox that your app must check. You know, which is something that's easy to see. You know, maybe then you're not visible on front pages or something. Maybe you have to go to a special page that's deeper in the store. I mean, they have total control over what they show, over what they advertise, over what gets put on lists. You know, and that's totally up to them.
Well,
and it's really only limited by their own, you know, morals. Like, do they want bikini apps on the top 10? Maybe they do.
I mean, you know, what about, you know, this hasn't really come up in the App Store yet, or at least I don't think it has, but what about violence, you know? Can you, if a game is too violent, if it's got just extreme excessive blood, does it get taken off the App Store?
There was one game a long time ago that claimed to have been rejected because it was too violent. But I think, you know, because I've looked at the game and it's really not that violent. I think that might have just been a publicity stunt, but I mean, meanwhile, Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars is front page Jones on the App Store.
At the same time,
big ass ads. So I mean, and you know, Grand Theft Auto has the reputation of being the most violent, mature type of game out there.
I suppose, I don't know. Chinatown Wars doesn't really feel that violent to me because it's like,
well, like it doesn't.
I guess
like,
it
even,
is.
Even,
but
even if the game is not, it's still Grand Theft Auto.
I don't, it's kind of abstracted in Chinatown because the graphics are kind of cartoony. And, you know, the action's very zoomed out. It's not like GTA where, like, oh, I'm going to run up to you and shoot you in your face in your car and you fall out dead. So, I don't know. I think we're going to see a lot of stuff change with the advent of more parental controls on the iPhone and on the App Store and whatever slab devices they come out. And I think as we see more parental controls, we'll see more types of content coming up because it's driven by the marketplace, really.
Yeah, I think that's the part of it where, you know, Apple really has it right. It's like they're not really trying to control things. Like they have some rules in place, but they're letting the market settle itself.
Right. All right, well, I guess that was a good debate, even though it wasn't really on banned games. But I guess it kind of was on banned games, if you think about it. All right, now it's time for feedback. All right, so I got some voicemails, but apparently the thing that plays voicemails over our line is not working right now, so I don't know. We'll get to these voicemails eventually. They've been sitting here for 2 weeks. So don't send us voice. Don't call on the listener line until we get this figured out. So we'll keep you guys posted on that. William Miller, you want to take this first one?
I play my DS tape. All right.
Dude, what? You are like the worst host ever.
Look, y'all are being boring, all right? I don't care about all that. All right. Else Buddy writes, Dear Lords of Gaming, I've added Blake back to my Steam friends list. Blake back, is that your other street name?
That's my Vanilla Ice name.
Now, if Blake has Left 4 Dead 2 on the PC...
He's a Blake back Avenger.
That's right. I would gladly play a game with him. I cannot see OnLive starting because I have not seen anything from them since they announced it. So with the caps and Comcast have... With the caps that Comcast have, I can see... God damn it. I can't even...
Else, buddy, just stop and, like, write your fucking sentences, dude. What you're like, I gotta write this in 10 seconds, done.
So I think he wants to play Left 4 Dead 2 with you.
Okay,
that's the gist of that.
He says something about Serious Sam here. What is this?
Also, I have Serious Sam HD on the PC, and it's fun to play. Just put it on Serious and opened up a game. You'll have it complete in no time.
Wait, wouldn't that be really...
Serious, like, that's the difficulty mode?
Serious, I think, is the second hardest.
Yeah, okay.
I think it goes Serious, and then it goes, like, ass rape or something. I don't know.
Actually, Sam is the last difficulty level.
Serious
and
Sam.
And then Sam. Right?
All right, so our next email, or our last email, we only got two this week, is from Chris G. He says... Hey guys, love the show. Thought after your NFL discussion about antitrust and innovation, you'd be interested in the same thing over here in the UK. The EPL, which I think
Wait. We're not going to be interested
in that. European Players League!
You're going to be wrong about us being interested in this, but continue, Blake Buck.
The EPL licenses football/soccer, which are not the same thing, to EA exclusively to produce the FIFA 2010 etc. series. There has been a parallel game over the last 10 years called Pro Evolution Soccer. They have teams and players that are made up, although many of whom are thinly disguised versions of the real ones. Mm. For many years, real, in quotes, football fans in the know bought Pro Evo as they thought it had a way better tactile control system. This drove EA to up their game, and FIFA has been improving steadily and is now regarded as better. This would have never happened without Pro Evo, so there can be effective competition even with licensing. All right.
Mm. Okay. And I hear that FIFA 2010.
What we should do is we should make an NFL game. We should make an NFL game, but instead of all the players' names, they're just like porno names. So you'd have like Michael Dick.
So also, Blake/Vic argued about whether IP is too successful should become public domain. This already happens. Legally, it is known as genericide. When a trademark becomes so ubiquitous that it refers to the general item. Hoover is a good example. Escalator used to be a brand name. Q-tip is an example in the U.S., but nowhere else.
Also, Xerox is another example. And tissue, like Xerox and Kleenex.
Yeah, Kleenex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for example, Kleenex, like that might be part of the lexicon, but Kleenex, that's still a trademark. And I think Q-tip is actually still a trademark too.
You still
too.
Can't call your shit Kleenex.
Or like, right. I didn't know Escalator was a brand. Like, yeah, I mean, do they have brands of escalators? I guess they do. I guess that's a product. All these things I'll never know about in the world. You know, man, I'm telling you. I was in the drive-thru getting some chicken the other day at Zaxby's. And I was looking at the window, and I looked at the window, and it said like "quick serve," and it had like an address of where it was made. And I was like, "Drive-through windows. That is a product that I guess people have to buy it, right? It has to do a function. I don't know anything about this, and never will. There are too many things in the world to know
in the drive-through window industry.
Yeah, like there probably is a drive-through window. You know, there's a good guys at Quick Serve and the assholes over at Auto Serve. They think they're hot shit. Anyway, it's finished this email. Just thought I'd mention it. Thanks for the show. Signed, Chris. P.S. Blake veers between smart and dumb too often to make a definitive statement. He's like the Heisenberg principle. If he stops still long enough for you to decide, he just takes another beer and confuses the issue. That's true.
It's all part of the magic.
Well, I guess that does it for this show. That's this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
Good show, Blake Clark.
It's a good show, and not like 3 hours long.
I know. It was a little more succinct this time. If you want to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com. I'll go ahead and tell you the number. It's 845-BATTLE-9. I'll try and get that working today. Go ahead and call, and I'll see if I can get that number. The number still works. I just can't get the player on my computer to work. So 845-BATTLE-9 is our voicemail number. You can sign up. We still have gotten no submissions for Battle. I guess we just kind of got started doing shows again. But if you're interested in signing up for Battle, send us an email or call the voicemail. Leave us your name and telephone number. And finally, if you want to send any donations to Haiti, it's donate@bestdamnpodcastever.com.
Haiti.
We're all going to burn in hell. I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin.
Oh, and thanks to Peachy, Sushi, and Wiki Wigga, and everybody else. And we'll see you next time.